Joining us right now is Sarah Westwood. She is the White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for being with us. Listen, the big news that we're seeing this morning is maybe knowing the identity of who unmasked some senior intel sources. Congress knows the idea of senior intel source who unmasked U.S. citizens in order to embarrass President Trump. The name we keep hearing from several different sources is Susan Rice. Now, Joe DiGenova was just on with us. He said Susan Rice, maybe three other people could be. Mike Cernovich from Media.com says Susan Rice. We've got Adam Housley, who is also reporting that we know who the person is. Have you heard any more as to who this person may be who's responsible for the unmasking of these names?
We know pretty much for sure that it was someone pretty senior within the Obama administration, and only someone with a very senior role could have had the authority to unmask U.S. citizens. And that really narrows the field of who it could be. We know now it wasn't some rogue low-level staffer. This is obviously something that was directed fairly high up in the Obama administration, and that makes it all the more significant. It can't be blamed on a staffer. It can't be blamed on a bureaucratic mistake. If it was directed by someone as senior as Susan Rice or someone else who was as high level as she was, that makes this a lot more interesting to anyone from either party that's looking at this.
And let me ask you about that, though, Sarah, because, I mean, I've been watching some of the daily briefings, and it seems like there's a lot of questions being asked about possible collusion between the White House and the Trump people and the Russians and all of this stuff that was going on back, you know, when the campaigns were underway. And not a lot of questions about what was going on with the Obama administration, because, you know, the president basically, you know, he may not have used the right words, but he sort of got this right, it seems like.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right in that his tweet, maybe not totally right in every aspect of it, but it seems to be that the gist of what he was trying to say has been substantiated more or less by some of these new developments. That frustration with the lack of questions about what Nunes actually uncovered has been evident from Sean Spicer at the podium. He's constantly asking reporters, why are you so obsessed with the process of how this information came to light? It's far less important than what we're actually learning about U.S. citizens who were unmasked for political purposes. But the media is sort of preoccupied with Trump campaign or White House's links to Russia and maybe possible collusion. I mean, you're right. There's not a lot of interest in substantiating Trump's tweets because there has been so much criticism of them being inaccurate. That's sort of a baked-in perception.
I mean, we can all agree he didn't use the right words. Okay, let's move on. Is there something there to what he was saying? And by and large, it appears with every passing day and all of the reporting that we're seeing about this, there indeed does appear to be something there that somebody in the Trump administration, a senior person very high up, made it possible to reveal the names of people who were swept up in incidental intelligence gathering so that they were actually following this, not for national security reasons, but because of the political intelligence that they were getting about their opponent, Donald Trump. Some of this was going on during the campaign.
Right. And I mean, I think a great example of the dangers of unmasking citizens when there's no real intelligence value, you just look at what happened to former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn. He was having a perfectly reasonable conversation with the Russian ambassador during the transition. That was part of his job as the incoming National Security Advisor. None of those conversations had any foreign intelligence value unless Mike Flynn's identity was unmasked. Then it was leaked to the press, and he was ousted from his job. And all of that was a result of this improper unmasking.
So where does this go from here?
Well, look, I think that it'll be really telling to see whether now that this new development, right, that someone very as high level as Susan Rice could have been involved, it'll be telling to see whether the congressional committees that are investigating Russia are willing to expand their inquiry to include this sort of improper unmasking. And that's something that Nunes did pretty willingly after the Mike Flynn situation came to light, after there were allegations against Manafort and Roger Stone. He said, I'm willing to expand the investigation. It'll be interesting to see if Democrats are willing to do the same now that there is damning information on the other side coming to light.
And that's the $60 million question as to whether that will go further. But can Devin Nunes put this name out there so that even if the Democrats block anything, at least that information is out there to prove
Let's unmask the unmaskers.
Exactly,
right.
Just to prove that President Trump was right.
I think with all the heat on the process here, it'll be difficult for Nunes to deviate any further from the normal procedures just because he runs the risk of letting that deviation overshadow whatever information he wants to bring to light. So I think that it's important for him to go through the proper channel so that this is unimpeachable, because the information is so valuable, it's important not to risk it getting lost in some additional controversy.
Okay.
What is the mood in that White House briefing room these days? Because when I see it, it seems very antagonistic and very adversarial. And we expect reporters to be adversarial. That's not unusual. But I've never seen anything quite like the attitudes that seem to be expressed in that briefing room in recent days.
It's a vicious cycle. It feeds itself. It's reporters who are asking maybe slanted questions, who are, you're right, over the top adversarial in the way they interact with Sean Spicer. And he is obviously getting fed up with the constant negative coverage and the rush to cover everything from the most negative angle possible. And so he snaps back. And then it's just a vicious cycle that gets more and more intense as some of these narratives develop. And so it's difficult to break, and it's hard to see how one side waves the white flag. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Now, the White House released dozens of financial disclosure forms. They did it late on Friday, and I'm a big believer that when the White House or an administration releases something late on Friday, it's because they don't want you to know what's in it. Anything in there that we should know about?
You know, we knew pretty much everything that we were seeing in those financial disclosure forms. We knew that, for example, Jared Kushner had a lot of wealth in many different assets, that he resigned a bunch of different positions, 267 according to his financial disclosures, in order to take a senior advisor role. We knew that many of President Trump's cabinet members and senior aides were extremely wealthy before they took these positions. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, these filled in the blanks a little bit, but by and large, there wasn't much new information in these disclosures.
Well, Sarah Westwood, thank you so much for joining us, and you have a wonderful week. We appreciate your time. That is Sarah Westwood with the Washington Examiner. She is the White House reporter.